and my
Blog Talk Radio.
So that's why, you know. Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And if you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16. 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
El-Roi, the God who sees me. In Genesis 16 and 13, and the NIV says, Hagar gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. The God who sees me, through this great name, you reveal your heart uniquely powerful way. In this name, you remind us that you see us as individuals. You see, and thus you know. When you saw Abraham on the mountaintop and witnessed his trust in you, you provided a ram as Jehovah Jireh, likewise as El Roi. You see where I am, and you respond because you see me. I know that I am truly known, to be known by you, to not be forgotten, is one of my greatest needs. So this name comforts me greatly. I praise you because you are not a distant God who sits far off, isolated from those you have made. Instead, you see me, you are with me, and you care. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory.
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Pray.
care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Praise belongs to our God. El Roi, which means the God who sees me. When I feel alone and forgotten, please forgive me for neglecting to acknowledge your name. Forgive me for grumbling when I don't see the one who sees me. Help me to remember that you are there. Yes, you are the God who sees me in whatever situation I'm facing. Pardon me for failing to see the God who sees me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome. Come on and testify.
Awesome. If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on.
want to say it. My God. Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say it.
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled Receive His Light, amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, where it says, God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in your heart to give the light of knowledge and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. The writer says, the road ahead may seem very vile and dim for you, but realize that Jesus came to illuminate your path. You see, sin not only condemns the unbeliever to death, but also darkens our vision, blinding us to divine things and working despondency and ruin in us. This is the gloom we can feel when we lack understanding of God and his ways, unwittingly engaged in behaviors that lead to our destruction and don't know what to do. This is why Jesus came. He is, in John 1:9, the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He not only provides us with salvation, but instructs us and gives us understanding. You may be feeling some darkness about your situation, and you wish you knew what to do. Jesus desires to make the path clear. Therefore, even though shining the light on your darkest places is humbling, allow Christ to expose the areas where sin is defeating and blinding you. He will reveal what keeps you in bondage and set you free. So listen to him and receive the light you need. Amen, amen, and amen. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the light of my life. Illuminate the way, and I will obey you. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. I pray that it was a blessing to you as it is to me. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. I hope and pray that on this Sabbath evening that you are enjoying our sweet hour of prayer and our inspirational music. To God be the glory. Roath. When Hagar sat alone and afraid in the desert, you made yourself known to her as the God who sees. Thank you for making yourself known to me, too, as the God who sees. Whatever trial I face, you see it. Whatever opposition rises up against me, you see it. Whatever health issue comes upon me, you see it. Thank you for your attentiveness to me and for your willingness to reveal yourself as the God who sees. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Forever change.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread. Amen. Which is entitled Baby Boy. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 14 through 22, where it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, amen? It says, look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belongs to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love, and he chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as the evidence of today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bridled. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners. For you yourself were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oath must be in his name alone. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise and the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. When your ancestors went down into Egypt, there were only 70 of them. But now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, my Lord. The text for this message is coming from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, and it says, God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows and the loved and loves the foreigner residing among you. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, the title is Baby Boy. For more than a year, the writer says, his legal name was Baby Boy. Discovered by a security guard who heard his cries, Baby Boy had been abandoned, hours old and wrapped only in a bag, in a hospital parking lot. Soon after his discovery, social service called the people who would one day become his forever family. The couple took him in and called him Grayson, not his real name. Finally, the adoption was complete, and Grayson's name became official. Today, you can meet a delightful child who mispronounces his awe as he earnestly engages you in conversation. You'll never guess he had once been found abandoned in a bag. Late in his life, Moses revealed God's character and what he had done for the people of Israel. The Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. Moses told them in Deuteronomy 10:15, this love had a broad scope. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows and loves the foreigners residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Moses said in verse 18. He also said in verse 21, he is the one you praise. He is your God. Whether it's through adoption or simply through love and service, we are all called to reflect God's love. That loving couple became the hands and feet God used to extend his love to someone who might have gone unnoticed and unclaimed. We can serve as his hands and feet too. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. How have you sensed God extending his love to you in ways large and small? What small thing might you do today to reflect that love? Amen. Think about those two questions. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on the fatherless. Help me to be your hands and feet today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. From this place where I'm at, yeah. I need an answer, and you know all the facts. I'm done all I can, tired of making mistakes over and over again. So I'm calling on you, and you always know what to do. So I'm praying to thee. When I get up, I'll stand in victory. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Take away the hurt. When I can't seem to make it work, I've done all that I can. Turn on your words. I'm ready to sing. So I'm hearing your voice in silence and in melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
Amen. El Roi, you see, I ask you to act on my behalf when you see me wronged unfairly. I ask you to defend and vindicate me when you see me accused unjustly. When others toil less and yet receive more reward, I ask you to see the diligence and tendency of my heart, and open doors for me that only you can open, because you see, you do not see me as humanity does. You do not judge by external appearances or by what the world esteems. You see my heart, and I pray now what Nehemiah prayed so long ago. Remember me with favor. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. You might be in despair, but the Word says, anything you ask in Jesus' name will be given unto you. Thank you.
says it speaks of wisdom. You says, raise yourself and answer me. You says, did you lay the earth's foundation? You says, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve your glorious love. Is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I'll trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Like thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no.
Which means God, my rock. In 2 Samuel 22:47 says, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock, El Salai, of my salvation. El Salai, I bless your name. You reign over all. You stand strong and tower high like a mountain of rock jutting up from the earth's surface. You are not swayed or moved when storms come. Upon the strength of who you are, I find a firm foundation to build my life. You provide my salvation and the stability of my time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now at this time, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen. For God sustaining me by the Wiki Tones. Praise be to God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. This is simple. We're going to have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know, God? My God is
sustaining
me.
His love, only his love.
Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Amen. And when you get to Luke, go to chapter 15. That's Luke chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Amen. Praise be to God. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. That's Luke chapter 15 verses 1 and 2. Give me one second. Praise be to God. Amen. Again, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, but the chapter is talking about the parables. Jesus tells the parables of the lost sheep. So verse 1 says, the tax collectors, the tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Amen. So the question is, why were the Pharisees and teachers of religious law bothered that Jesus associated with these people? Well, the religious leaders were always careful to stay clean according to the Old Testament law. In fact, they went well beyond the law in their avoidance of certain people and situations and in their ritual washing. By contrast, Jesus took their concept of cleanness lightly. He risked defilement by touching those who had leprosy and by neglecting to wash in the Pharisees' prescribed manner. And he showed complete disregard for their sanctions against associating with certain classes of people. He came to offer salvation to sinners and to show that God loves them. Jesus didn't worry about the accusations. Instead, he continued going to those who needed him. Amen? Regardless of the effect these rejected people might have on his reputation, how are you following Jesus? Example. Amen? Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that you are a God who cares. Indeed, you care enough to send your very best, even your Son. When we forget your care and succumb to the sins of self-pity or resentment, forgive us and remind us again how much you care. In response to your love and understanding, we offer our gifts today. May they be used to spread the good news of Christ to others who do not know a God who understands. In the name of Christ, your Son, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Here, Luke, in emphasizing the humanity of Jesus in his gospel account, was saying, we have a God who understands. Matthew stresses the messiahship of Christ. Mark, his servanthood, but Luke, a physician committed to alleviating human suffering, chooses to stress the humanity of Jesus. He is concerned that suffering humanity know we have a God who understands. Luke's name appears only 3 times in the New Testament, and not one of these instances is in either book he wrote. Rather, references to Luke can be found in Colossians 4 and 14, where he is called the beloved physician. In Philemon 24, where he is called Paul's fellow worker, and in 2 Timothy 4 and 11, where he stands by Paul during the dark hours of Paul's approaching martyrdom. Now, in all three passages, Luke's life bears evidence that he had come to know in Christ a God who understands. Regardless of who we are, where we live, or what we have done, Luke's message to us is that in Jesus Christ, we have a God who understands. In an effort to see what Luke said about this subject in all 24 chapters of his book, I have reduced his statements to 3. Amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 2 in the NIV version. And it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Amen. And my title for this message is A God Who Understands. Tonight, my message is divided into 3 sections. Amen? Number 1, God understands what it is to be human, for he was human. In Luke 1 and 31 says, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Apart from being conceived by the Holy Spirit, Christ's birth was as human as anyone else. He was conceived in the womb of a woman as any other, and the physical aspects of his birth were identical to any other human's birth. Jesus did not drop down from the sky as a full-grown Messiah. Amen? His was a natural birth, a natural growth, a natural development. Oh, yes, he was divine, but he was very much human. the title Son of Man is used in Luke's account 23 times to stress the humanity of Christ, of Jesus. It is Christ's favorite destination for himself. Designation, amen, for himself. Praise be to God. One second. Okay. So, the title Son of Man is used in Luke's account 23 times to stress the humanity of Jesus. It is Christ's favorite destination for himself. Whatever else this title may mean, it means that Christ is human, that he is one with humankind, that he understands us. In Luke 9 and 58, okay, so turn with me to Luke 9, since we are already in the book of Luke, and we're going to turn to Luke 9 and 58 says, but Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests. But the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Amen? No place to lay his head. So the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In Luke 5 and 24 in the NIV says, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Amen? Luke 7 and 34 in the NIV says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Praise be to God. In Luke 6 and 5 in the NIV says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. Praise be to God. In Luke 9 and 44, in the NIV says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. And in Luke 12, and 40 in the NIV says, the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. None of us knows the hour or time that God will come back. Amen? So these plus 17 other such references to the Son of Man assures us that ours is a God who understands what it is to be human. For he was human. For many of us, it seems strange that a person would question Jesus' humanity. Theoretically, very few have ever done so. The doctors believe that the body of Jesus was not real. They held that Christ was only God, appearing in human form. Many theologians have so emphasized the deity of Christ and assume such a chasmere between God and man that they have practically nudified the human life of Christ. This is wrong. We should begin with the facts of the life of Jesus as recorded in the New Testament. Nobody the New Testament seriously will ever question Jesus' humanity. As a man, Jesus was subject to the law of growth and development. Luke said that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men in Luke 2 and 52. This seems to describe normal human growth. Amen? His temptation were human. When Jesus said to his disciples on the night he was betrayed in Luke 22 and 40, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He knew what he was talking about. Jesus' ministry and launched in the midst of a barrack of temptation. Turn with me to Luke 4, 1 through 13. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And it says, Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, Scripture says, people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me." Jesus replied, "The scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Praise be to God. On a stone. Okay, here we go. Jesus responded, "The scripture also say, you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Amen? Luke 4, 1 through 13. And his temptations never let up. They hounded him until his last breath on the cross. Jesus' temptations and battles were real. He struggled. His struggles with sin and evil were no sham battles. We sometimes make the mistake of thinking that there can be no temptation unless there is something based and ennobled in our lives to which temptation can appear. But this is wrong thinking. In the wilderness, in Matthew 4 and 11. So let's turn to Matthew 4 and 11. Amen. Matthew 4 and 4. Yeah, excuse me. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Amen. Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness. This is what this chapter is all about. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. The 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus replied, "The scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Hallelujah. And then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. And Luke 4 and 11, 4, 1 through 13, which we read already. The temptation to satisfy Jesus' physical appetite was real. Turn stones into bread. The temptation to turn from the Father's will for his life and gain the world through compromise was real. Worship Satan. The temptation to win the world through sensationalism was real. Leap from the temple. This is why we can go to Christ unashamed of our temptation. For Hebrews 4 and 15 assures us that this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, since he had the same temptation we do, though he never once gave way to them and sinned. Yet Jesus' understanding does not mean that he condones our giving into temptation. Rather, it means that when we go to him in time of temptation, we don't need to explain what it is all about. For he understands what it is to be human and to be tempted. In Luke 7:11 through 15, turn with me to Luke 7 and verse 15. Praise be to God. And we are going to read verses Luke 7, 11 through 15. Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead. Soon after, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. And the bearer stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus came back, gave him back to his mother. To God be the glory. His compassion was human. There is no stronger word than compassion for pity and sympathy and feeling, and it is a word that is used again and again in the gospel story to describe Jesus. At that time, this must have been a staggering thought. The stonics held that the primary characteristics of God was epiphany, or the incapability of feeling. Yet in Luke, we are presented with the amazing conception of one who was the Son of God and yet was human enough to be moved with compassion. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. His disappointment was human. Jesus was disappointed in his own hometown, Nazareth. No prophet is accepted in his own country. Luke 4:24. He was disappointed in those whom he healed. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Luke 17:17. He was disappointed in one whom he had chosen. "Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Luke 22:21. His prayer life was human. In Luke 5:16 said, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Luke 22:44 says, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Jesus was not stage playing. He prayed because he needed to pray. He had human temptations. His suffering was human. When the scourge lashes across Jesus' back, tearing flesh, it hurt just as it would hurt any other human's back. When the nails were driven into his hand, he felt pain as any other person would. When the spears was thrust into his side, and when he said, "I thirst," it was for real. He understands human suffering because he suffered. Luke is saying, come down from the ledge and don't leap. There is someone who understands, and his name is Jesus. Praise be to God. God understands the difficulty of forgiveness, for he forgave. Turn with me to Luke 7, 41 through 48. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, at this woman kneeling here, when I entered your home, she did not offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my head with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise his holy name. So God understands the difficulty of forgiveness, for he forgave. Luke 7, 41 to 48. Simon was having a difficult time forgiving the woman who cleansed Jesus' feet with her tears. Her sin was known everywhere. How could Jesus possibly forgive her? He wondered. The woman was notoriously bad. A prostitute, no doubt she had heard Jesus speak. Around her neck, she wore, like all Jewish women, a small vial of concentrated perfume. These vials were called alabasters, and they were very costly. She wanted to pour it on Jesus' feet, for it was all she had. But as she saw his compassion, tears formed and fell upon his feet. Barclay reminds us that for a Jewish woman to appear with her hair down was an act of the great gravest immodesty on her wedding day. A girl bound her hair, and never would she appear with it unbound. The fact that this woman loosed her long hair in public showed that she had forgotten all others except Jesus. The whole story reveals a contrast between two attitudes of mind and heart. One, Simon was aware of no need and felt no love. Therefore, he offered no forgiveness. Two, Christ hated sin but loved the sinner. To him, there was no problem in forgiving. So repent, a sinner. Jesus also forgave those who were not repented. For those who nailed him to the cross and taunted him by saying in Luke 23:34, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he be the Christ, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This was easy. This was not easy, but he did it anyway. He understands the difficulty of forgiveness, for he forgave when you, like Simon Peter, would ask, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Up to seven times? Remember the words of Christ, underscore again by his prayer on the cross in Matthew 18:21-22. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. He understands the difficulty of forgiveness, for he forgave. Amen. God understands the need of assurance, for he was assured. After Christ had incurred the wrath of the Pharisees for healing the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath, Luke recorded in Luke 6:11-13, they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called upon his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom was also named the apostles. Christ understands what it means to need assurance, undoubtedly shaken by the threats and schemes of his enemies. He needed assurance that only his Father could give him. And so he prayed. In fact, Luke said he prayed all night long. The next day, assured by his Father that he would live to see his mission accomplished, Jesus chose his 12 apostles. Christ understands the need of assurance. For he was assured. Praise be to God. He offers assurance in the presence. In Luke 12:22-23. Turn with me to Luke 12. Praise be to God. Luke 12 and 23. Luke 12, 22 to 23. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about every day, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing." Now drop down to 31. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." Praise be to God. He offers assurance for the future. Turn with me to Luke 21. Praise be to God. And we are going to read verses 26 through 28. "The people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. To God be the glory." Hallelujah, Jesus. And my conclusion is, the newspapers ran a story of one woman who had decided to end her life, but changed her mind for one reason. Someone understood. In the words of the patrolman who called her back from the ledge, "I say to you, I don't know who you are or where you live or what you have done, but I do know there is someone who understands, and his name is Jesus." I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you, as it is always to me. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the body of Christ. And all you have to do is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your walk with Christ. Amen. And my benediction for this message is, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank all of my listeners on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Block Talk Radio for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with another word from the Lord. Amen. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a beautiful and blessed service for those who worship on Saturdays and for those who worship on Sundays. Amen. I pray that each and every one of you will be blessed. And now at this time, I want to thank you again. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you again till we meet in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Shalom and good night, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.